You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Nearly a quarter through the year, we are in the exact middle of our first quarter fundraising drive. Now halfway through it, if you're listening live, it wraps up on March the 31st. We need your support to stay on the air. Can't emphasize that enough. If we live on nickels and dimes, folks, $100 or more, big-time contribution really makes a difference on this program. And we thank everybody who's been so faithful and steadfast with their support for two decades. And I gotta say, I mean, the show's guests, I don't know about me and you, but the show's guests just keep getting better, and really enjoyed, of course, having Keith Woods on tonight. Next week, March Around the World continues in Germany with Sasha Rossmuller, who is an independent journalist and a political activist, and he's going to give us the scoop on exactly what's taking place on the ground in Germany. I mean, Germany, just such an important part of Europe, and great to have them represented. And we're not done yet. Still a couple of weeks left in March Around the World after tonight. And in the third hour, I said at the end of the first hour, don't miss the third hour, don't miss the third hour. Well, What Keith was saying was that he's seeing some positive action on the periphery, Portugal, Croatia. Now, we did have an interview with Tom Sunich live earlier this month from Croatia, but we're going to continue tonight the third installment, part 3 of 12, of TPC at 20, a retrospective. Now, this series doesn't come on any particular week. It's not like it airs the third week of every month or the last week of every month. It just comes whenever we can fit in that hour based upon
when the spirit moves, James.
Well, basically when we have the time to do it based upon our schedule that month. But, you know, of course, March Around the World is March. Confederate History Month is April. And we have the Christmas programming and Easter and Christmas with Brett McAtee. By the way, Easter's coming up early this year. Easter's going to be the last week of March this year, first time in years it hasn't been in April. You never know about Easter. Easter, you never even know what month it's going to be in.
A movable feast, as I call it.
So that's coming up later this month. Normally it blends in with Confederate History Month, which is fine by me, but no, in the third hour tonight, listen, we're going to have installment 3 of 12. And we're going to go back, and we're going to keep it in the theme of March Around the World, meaning we're going to have an international guest as this part of our TPC at 20, a retrospective series, and it's going to be Major General Zeljko Glasnovic. We kicked off March Around the World for the first time in 2020. It was our 16th year on the air, but it was the first time we introduced this series. This is now our fifth installment of March Around the World, our fifth time to do it, fourth year, fifth installment. Five marches in 4 years. You understand how that works. But anyway, if Keith did not even remember this interview. Okay, Keith did not remember this interview. I said, Keith, you remember the Zeljko Glasnovic?
Well, I didn't remember the name because the name is a little obscure. But on the other hand, once I heard it, I said, oh, that's the guy that was the general from Croatia. Yeah, I knew exactly who it was once it came on.
We listened to it. We edited it down, and we're going to play it in the third hour with, as we have done with the retrospective series, we did it in January. We're featuring 12 of some of the just memorable interviews, 12 guests, 12 months throughout our 20th anniversary year. In January, we revisited the Drew Lackey interview, obviously the chief of police in Montgomery, Alabama, with Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King. He dealt with all those players back then. Last month, we revisited an interview with Anthony Cumia. Tonight, we're going to revisit, as part of our March Around the World, but also as a part of our retrospective series, Major General Zeljko Glasnovic. He was a major general, retired major general, who went on to earn a seat as a member of parliament in Croatia. And Keith and I were listening to this interview before the show tonight as we were editing it down, and we're going to be playing it for you along with some fresh reactions and commentary in the third hour, and I couldn't believe how stout it was. I remembered it being good, But I think it surprised both Keith and I, so we're going to get to that in the third hour. But first, let's get down to some domestic news. That's what we said we would do this hour, so let's do it. The State of the Union. Now, we've been so busy marching around the world with all these international guests, we haven't touched on any news from the United States in the month of March so far. So let's catch up on a few things. The State of the Union, a friend of mine said it best. It wasn't a State of the Union. It was a partisan campaign speech. You actually watched it, Keith. I couldn't even bother myself to do it. I've been traveling.
Well, they apparently got Joe Biden hopped up on a Red Bull or something like this to get him revved up to give this speech. And he could do it. He pulled it off after a fact, because anger is in his wheelhouse. You know, when he tries to be statesmanlike and restrained and intellectual, he just can't handle that. But on the other hand, if he wants to just, if he wants to froth at the mouth, he can handle that, okay? Well, that's what he did, basically. And I've never seen such a partisan, anti-opponent State of the Union address in my life. You know, it's supposed to be a moment for statesmanlike reflection and
bipartisanship, come togetherness,
collegiality. None of that. No, it was. I mean, he called Trump everything except a child of God, and he, you know, he just is really, you know, he is just full of bile, and he is being used, but he's glad to be used, I guess, because if he weren't in that position, I think he and his whole family would be going to jail, and he realizes that. But, you know, you just can't understand. You cannot underestimate Biden's abilities as a president. I've never seen a guy that did a worse job. You know, he actually has outdone Jimmy Carter. And
I was talking to somebody, Keith. Somebody said recently, I was talking to him just a couple of days ago, or maybe it was last night, and we all feel the inflation. We all feel when you go to McDonald's and it's $50 to feed your family. I mean, what in the hell is going on? Prices have increased since the so-called COVID year of 2020 by a third. The average American is out a third of their pocket for nothing in return.
Well, and also the Biden administration, such as it is, you know, it's basically Obama and Susan Rice and, you know, what's that guy, Podesta, and, you know, some people like that working behind the scenes. They love the situation because the insiders in the Democratic Party are basically, you know, in charge of everything. That this is their dream come true. But, you know, the whole situation in America now, Biden is doing his best to keep gas prices down, food prices down, inflation down.
Well, it hadn't worked.
And
have
I know,
you been to the grocery
know,
store lately?
What I'm saying, though, is that, you know, he can't make it work. You know, despite their best efforts, they have mismanaged the country economically so badly that they just can't keep a lid on the inflation. And I think that's going to be their downfall, Jake.
Well, I mean, because if nothing else, Americans will always look after number one. They want to be entertained, and they'll look after number one. And if it hurts them at the pocketbook, that's going to not be good for the current administration, whomever that may be. And that's that. Yeah, I agree. I think that's why Trump's doing better in the polls than people might have expected after, you know, again, 4 to 8 more years of rampant illegal immigration. It's just, I mean, people want to be paid. People want to be able to make it. And I guess there's something to self-preservation.
Well,
but nevertheless.
While we're talking about this, let me just say this. What is going to happen regarding election integrity? There's all, you hear these wimps like Sean Hannity saying, gee whiz, we just got to get out there and vote harder. We got to just do what the Democrats are doing, and they do it better than they do it. No, you know, and then when we lose it the next, you know, the day after election day, he's going to say, oh, shucks, we lost again. You know, that isn't going to work. You know, the stuff that people like him and Mark Levin are saying, that's not going to work. You've got to have a real solid plan. The Republican Party needs to come up with a real solid plan for assuring election integrity. Failing to plan is planning to fail.
All right. Me and you had this conversation, you and I had this conversation about a month ago, and no one could hold Sean Hannity in greater disdain than I. The very sight of him, the very sound of his voice repulses me.
He's just such a shill for Israel.
But all of that, but and then some. You know, he's an apologetic, you know, supposedly from Atlanta. He hates the South. All right, but what he's saying here in this case is, I get what you're saying. We need to go back to Election Day voting, not have 2 months of early voting, not have these drop boxes.
Basically, in effect, repeal the Voting Rights Act of 65. That's where all the bad stuff came from.
But what he's saying, and what I agree with, is between now and November, you're not going to get rid of mail-in voting. You're not going to get rid of 2 months of early voting. So what he's saying is, Republicans, I know I've never voted except on Election Day. Ever in my life, I pride myself on voting the right way. But what he's saying here in this case, and I dislike him immensely, but he's saying is, they're going to do it. Why wait until Election Day when it could, you could be sick all of a sudden, it could be rainy, you could be snowed in November, early snow, who knows? Get out and do what you got to do, get your vote in. That's what he's saying, and I agree with him on that level.
Anything that comes in as a mail-in ballot needs to be segregated and subjected to strict scrutiny.
All right, we got to take a
break. That's the way they did it in 2020, and that's the way they'll do it this time.
Unless you're overseas or unless you have some hardcore medical impediment, you got to go in and vote. They give you too many days to vote not to be able to go in and do it. All right, we got to take a break.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
And we're back. I had to yell for Keith. We're up. We're up. We're up. They brought us popcorn tonight, so you can't keep Keith out of the lobby.
And I responded to him by singing Old Whack Joe.
I have a headset
on.
I'm
coming.
How about Sam and Dave? Hold on.
I'm coming.
All right. Well, when they give you popcorn, what do you expect?
I see.
Look at the floor here.
Yeah, right. We need the funky chicken to pick up all the pieces.
Well, we have too much fun, that's for sure. Well, anyway, let's get back to some local, or I say local. I guess it's local compared to international news, but domestic news. The Supreme Court, this is another thing that's happened since we started our march around the world. Colorado and Maine and all of these other states that were aspiring to throw Trump off the ballot, and in order to protect democracy by not letting people vote for the candidate they want, they're not going to be allowed to do it.
Well, the Supreme Court better wake up and smell the coffee, because if they don't take action to assure the integrity,
you can have
of
about
election,
72 Supreme Court justices.
Exactly. Yeah, they're going to be they're going to be extinct. They're going to be lost in the crowd. And you know, if they want to keep their power and their they're part of the federal government, the tripartite federal government, intact so that it operates, they better get on the ball and they better make sure that all of these machinations by the Democrats are shot down, because if they don't, they're signing their own death warrant.
Well, I think Ketanji, whatever her name is, and the Hispanic woman on the court there, they probably like having 72 others like them, which is exactly what's going to happen the next time they get a chance to do it.
They're going to do that, and they're also going to pass a federal election law that basically validates and even gives preference to every method of voter fraud that they can think of. You know,
well, how many more
ballots
do they need?
Well, they've got the machines.
You got Brother Love coming from the black churches, stuffing these little post office boxes full of ballots.
And the chicken hearted Republicans will never do anything about those.
But they don't want to be called a racist.
Yeah, right. You know, they say, please call me a pedophile or something like that. You know.
All right. Were you surprised though that the Supreme Court gave Trump a big win there?
No, they had to give him a big win.
You said this all the way back on Valentine's Day. We had the Valentine's Day show with the girls, but
I told him it might be 2 weeks. I think it turned out to be 3 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Good
but
memory.
Nonetheless, they had to do that. And furthermore, with Fannie Willis.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Speaking of court cases, so you've got this thing with Fannie Willis. I mean, just, you know, typical third world non-white corruption. I mean, she's doing payoffs. She's engaged in a sexual relationship with her subordinate. Now, remember what the whole Me Too thing was about? Powerful white men, and they would give favors to women who would sleep with them or whatever. You know, if this was a situation like that, the media would have been all over it. But when it's a black woman engaging in that sort of thing, it doesn't even get mentioned. As a matter of fact, not only does it not get mentioned, when it finally came to light, the level of corruption going on here, they said, this is what happens when you're a black woman and you go up against Trump. You know, oh, woe is me. Everything's stacked against us.
This is what happens when you have a majority black venue like Fulton County, Kentucky.
Georgia.
You have blacks
Georgia.
Yeah, not Fulton County. Excuse me. Fulton County, Georgia. You know, you can dress them up, but you can't take them to town.
But then her dad was on the stand and said, well, this is, you know, a black thing where you got, like, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, you know, in your shoebox for payouts. Payoffs.
and tens of thousands of paramours on the side. Like,
so, I mean, again, though, but it just came out today. We heard it during one of the network news breaks earlier tonight that she's been exonerated. She's back on the beat.
Well, let's focus rather than focusing on Fannie, because you can't fix that, okay? You can't fix stupid.
Take a load off Fannie.
Fannie, be tender with my love. Remember that?
That's a different song.
BG songs. But anyway.
The one by the band was a better song.
But what is happening here is that white judge intimidated once again to enforce the law against a black person. When are we going to get judges and politicians, white politicians, that will stand up for their own people? And furthermore, not even do that in the case of this judge, just enforce the law even-handedly, the way that you would against a white defendant. If that had been a white defendant doing that, that guy would have been toasted, roasted, and
that's the key. Imagine a white man, a heterosexual white man, who's got this underling.
Got this honey bun on the side, and he gives
her
this big
job. They're
getting
some extra money, and, you know, they're having sex, of course, and going after the man.
And this woman has no qualifications at all in this type of litigation. Instead, you're paying her, you know, upper six-figure salary, and she is supposedly in charge of the whole thing, and actually she's not doing a darn thing. What would happen to that particular white prosecutor?
Have been brushed under the rug saying, this is what happens when you go after Trump. You know, they just come after you with all this. But it was all because of her own misdeeds. She did this to herself. But then she's back on it. She's back on the case.
Oh, yeah. They're never going to drop the boom on her. But see, it's just like in Memphis, we have, you know, all sorts of incompetence in the government all the time. And they say, well, you know, they kind of behind the scenes say, this is what happens when you've got black people in charge. You know, it's like Coca-Cola. They used to say things go better with Coke. Government runs better when white people are in charge. That's what this shows.
Well, more fairly. I mean, we bring this up all of the time, but all of these BS movies like A Time to Kill, when in fact the real inspiration for that was the exact mirror opposite of what was portrayed in the movie.
A black guy that was raping white girls rather than a white Klansman raping a black girl.
Which probably never happened in the history of the world, okay? But the thing is,
John Grisham knew what he had to do in order to gratify himself to the Jewish editors at Simon & Schuster.
But the thing is this plays into, oh, well, a black could have never gotten a fair trial and an all-white jury. Try being a white guy, an all-black jury, and see how fair it is. I guarantee you, the thing that they portray as being unfair was infinitely more fair.
Well, the wonderful thing about all this is that most of the black political power is concentrated in cities. Cities are not part of the constitutional scheme. They are just chartered, just like a corporation is, by the state. And what the state gives, the state can take away. That's what they need to do to places like Atlanta, places like Memphis. The state legislature needs to step in and say, you people have demonstrated beyond a reasonable doubt that you cannot manage your job to run this city. So we are revoking your charter, and we're running this thing now out by the county or out of the state capitol. Boy, would that absolutely, you know, drop a bomb on them. But that's the only way out of this conundrum, James, because you're not going to improve the quality of black leadership in places like Atlanta or in Memphis.
Well, how about Haiti?
Yeah, well, yeah, Haiti is the perfect example.
What's going on in Haiti this week?
Well, they've added cannibalism to the mix now. They've always had corruption and, you know, crime and murder and things like this. And
going back to when they murdered all the whites there.
Right. Not only the whites, but the mulattoes. They found them to be offensive as well. But but nonetheless, you know, the more you try to, you know.
How far removed is Atlanta from Haiti? How many generations? I mean, would you say going forward at this trajectory?
Maybe two more. But see, what is happening, though, is just, you know, you cannot, it's the more you stir it, the more it stinks. You know, they've sent the U.S. Army has been down there basically managing the country from 1915 to 1934 and then at various other times. And it doesn't matter. As soon as they leave, everything descends to, you know.
Let's read. Well, to what he's talking about, to what we're talking about, Brad Griffin has the report. I trust this is Brad Griffin writing at OccidentalDescent.com. I trust everyone has seen the videos of the cannibals who have overrun Haiti and toppled the government. Yeah, it's been that big of a deal. It's toppled the government.
They actually have a picture of them barbecuing a certain part of the male anatomy.
Well, I got it right here. Look, if you've got delicate ears or if kids are around, cover their ears for the next 30 seconds. Brad writes that he saw a video of a Haitian cannibal eating a penis. And he said he would link to it at Occidental Descent, but the videos are being taken down as quickly as they are posted because, God forbid, people see racial reality as it truly exists.
Jonathan Greenblatt at work.
This is NBC News reporting. The embattled prime minister of Haiti, the Caribbean country whose capital has been overwhelmed by violent gangs, said Tuesday that he would resign. In a short speech posted to Facebook, Ariel Henry said his government would dissolve once a transitional council had been set up, following a week of systematic looting and destruction of public buildings and private buildings. Well, that sounds like Black Lives Matter. That sounds like Minneapolis.
Nobody,
that sounds like Seattle. That sounds like Portland.
And you'll see no mainstream black leader, particularly a political leader, have anything to say but encouraging words.
This is it. This is what they would do
they'll
here.
They'll wring their hands and somehow, like, well, Jared Taylor wrote an article about it. He said, it's all our fault, our being white people. White people apparently are responsible for the cannibalism that's breaking out.
That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. But this is what would happen in Atlanta and in Memphis and in Birmingham and in Detroit if they could get away with it. This is their nature. This is it. And this is it. This is it. And this is the beginning of it and the end of it.
I'm sure that Paul Kersey has written an article about it. And if he has, go there if you want to get the real skinny on what's happening in Haiti.
The timing of the interim government remains unclear. Yeah, I would say so, because since they toppled white rule, it's always been unclear. And Brad has done a deep dive into the history of Haiti, which is going to be...
it's clear as mud. Basically, it's been... How bad can... it's like that old song about limbo. How low can you go? Well, Haiti will show.
But I tell you this, they have a better constitution than we do. They say no whites can even be citizens. They understand that much. They understand that much. The last Haitian prime minister...
I think we have that now in America.
last Haitian prime minister was assassinated 2 or 3 years ago. This is how power has always been transferred in the Black Republic. Congratulations, General Barbecue. We'll be back in the day. Nothing out of the ordinary. We'll be right back.
You can't make it up, folks.
your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. The governor of Ohio says people across the state came together in the aftermath of Friday's killer tornadoes. Republican Mike DeWine toured some of the damage on Friday in the north central part of the state. Three people died in one tornado. Heavy damage was reported in different areas of Ohio after five tornadoes were confirmed in the state. DeWine said Ohioans are resilient, especially those who face tornadoes.
Indian Lake community will come back. That's the message I got from everybody. We will be back. We are coming back.
The suspect in last month's fatal beating of a Georgia nursing student is asking for a jury trial. Court officials in Athens says 26-year-old Jose Ibarra is in custody for the death of 22-year-old Lakin Riley and is facing charges of murder, aggravated battery, aggravated assault, false imprisonment, kidnapping, hindering a 911 call, and concealing the death of another. Officials say Riley's body was found in a wooded area near the University of Georgia. Court date in the case is pending. There will be a delay in one of former President Trump's trials. USA's John Schaefer with the details.
The trial for former President Donald Trump's New York hush money case, overseen by Judge Juan Marchand, has been postponed from its initial start date of March 25th. That's due to discovery challenges raised by the defense. The judge decided to delay the trial by 30 days and has set a hearing for March 25th to tackle the discovery issues.
A new study says more U.S. teens are experimenting with a psychoactive drug called Delta 8. A survey funded by the National Institute of Health found that at least one or two students in every average-sized high school class had tried the drug last year. Delta 8 is a chemical compound found in cannabis and hemp plants. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure-ground burgers are made from single cuts of real, aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
Hey friends, James Edwards here again to remind you that Antelope Hill Publishing is America's premier provider of dissident literature. They print books that mainstream publishers are too afraid to touch, providing you with information you need to challenge the status quo. Whether your interest includes contemporary dissident politics, history that would otherwise be censored or slandered, philosophy, or exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you'll find plenty to love in the Antelope Hill catalog, which includes books such as Generation 68, The Elite Revolution and Its Legacy, about the elite-driven cultural revolution of the 1960s, which transformed America, Whitey on the Moon, about the demise of the space program due to diversity, The Sword of Christ, which argues for restoring Christianity as the foundation of the West and combating heresies like Christian Zionism, speeches by Mussolini and other historical figures, and much more. With new titles added every month, there's no doubt that they have something for everyone. So check out their catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, We're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
And we are back. Briefly pausing our international travels the second hour to catch up on some domestic news items that have piled up on our desk as we've been so busy this month. I mean, what do you expect? But I should say before I get into the next topic that I want to cover that when you support TPC, you're not just keeping us on the air, although that is most certainly the primary objective. And we can't do it without you.
It costs money, folks.
Well, they just can't do it without you. And so we do need your support. We were a little late, a little busy to get to it right at the jump this time. And the mail, it takes about a week to send a first-class letter now. I learned that. And it takes about a week.
It ain't going to get any better. It'll get worse.
And so it's taking about a two-week turnaround time to send something to you. And if you put, if you respond right away, you were looking at the middle of the month. So I was like, I was checking the mailbox. I was like, well, maybe they just stopped delivering the mail altogether. But finally, a couple of days ago, it started to come back. That's just how long it takes to get first class.
I'll tell you what's happened in Memphis now that you mentioned first class
mail.
I went down to the downtown main post office, and they have removed the post office boxes that used to be outside.
Well, they keep a regular hour, too. You can go to any given post office branch, and they may be there, they may not be. Yeah, they could be locked. The door lights could be off. I see it all the time.
I've heard they've had theft problems from the U.S. mailboxes, and maybe now they just cut out the middleman and have stolen the boxes, mail and all.
Well, I mean, in all seriousness, mail does still get delivered, so send your mail with confidence. But it does take a little bit longer. There's no doubt about it. But it's the only way you can support us. You can't support us online. We've been deplatformed and censored by every credit card processing company in the universe. That's no exaggeration.
Well, you were talking about something that is happening legally. What about this situation that they have with you're giving me some type of signals over here. Now
well,
I forgot,
signal,
now I forgot
this,
what I was
you
saying.
You got to keep the windscreen to your mustache.
Well, what you got to do is you got to get me one of those microphone stands.
If
like
I gave
you
a microphone stand like I had and you were 6 feet away from it, it still wouldn't pick you up.
Well, I'm not 6 feet away. I'm not even 6 millimeters away. But, I'll remember it again soon.
All right. Well, anyway, while you're thinking about it, I'll tell you this. Support us through the mail. It's the only way you can get it to us. It will get to us, but it takes a minute, a few days. But I'll say this. When you support TPC, you're not just supporting the work on the air. It keeps us on the air, and it's the only thing that keeps us on the air. But you're also supporting the American Free Press column, special events, speeches, travel. We're all over the place all the time. And never more so than in the last couple of years. But I'll just give you a quick taste of what's going on with the American Free Press. 2 weeks ago, we posted online at thepoliticalcesspool.org a Q&A with Nick Griffin. Just yesterday, if you're listening live, a Q&A with Philip DeWinter of Belgium. And coming up in the next two issues of the American Free Press, interviews with Paul Fromm and Tom Sunich. What the good people there have done, John Friend, Paul Angel, they've given us an opportunity to compliment the spoken word of TPC with a partnership with AFP. It's really an extension of the program, and that's why we push them so hard. It's just a great newspaper. I've known them forever, and we want you to be there. But that's what's coming up in the next couple of issues, Q&As, print Q&As with Paul Fromm and Tom Sunich. You've already heard on the air this month. That's coming up in AFP. But anyway, what we're talking about, Keith, with people supporting us is just, I mean, to us, it's a lot of money. You know, $100, $200 or more. I mean, $5, that's big. Everything matters here at TPC. Nikki Haley. Now that's another thing I wanted to get to. Domestic news. Nikki Haley, since we last talked about what's going on here in the United States, has dropped out of the race. Within the last few weeks of her campaign, a campaign that saw her win nothing.
Vermont and
Washington, D.C.
In Washington, D.C.
And then everywhere else she was routed. Vermont and Washington, D.C., in just the last few weeks of her campaign alone, she had an infusion of cash to the tune of $80 million. $80 million.
Now, what does that tell you about American
politics?
Could
you imagine what we could do with $80,000? $8,000. No, I mean, seriously, $80 million to prop up somebody who was never going to go anywhere, but there was just all that money out there to throw into that lost cause. She did nothing and was never going to do anything, and they had to have known that. $80 million.
We know why she got that prop up of
money.
But
they knew she wasn't going to go anywhere with it.
Well, no, they didn't. The thing is, these people live in like the bubble boy, okay?
$80 million.
They have money to burn. And
I could have done as good as she.
Her.
I could have lost everything just as easily as she could have.
Well, the thing is, she is the poster child for everything that is wrong with American politics today. She's not an American, not part of the founding stock. She works against the interests of the founding stock of America by doing things like taking down Confederate monuments and Confederate flags and things like this, and has the nerve to run and think that she's going to be treated like she's some white knight on a horse who's going to save the Republican Party.
I'd like to know who was writing these checks.
Well, I know who they were, and I get it starts with J and ends with EWS.
But I mean, well, they got more money than they know what to do with.
More money than they got sense, that's for sure, because you know. But they're so used to just throwing money at anybody. See, they can get all the
politicians. I would say to your point, I can't imagine a white rural Southerner, which is the Republican base, cutting a check to Nikki Haley for any amount.
No, no. In fact, I told, I think you and I have both said this, if she was the Republican nominee, I ain't voting Republican. That's just
She would have been without Trump. I mean, well, maybe DeSantis, but I'm just saying, I mean, without Trump, who knows what the hell that this party would have done. It would have resorted back to atrophy
for
sure.
Well, the thing is, this party basically is still trying to live back in the Jeb Bush days and whatnot like this, and they do not have, you know, the people they want us to vote for are the people that the base would not vote for under any circumstances.
I got to tell you, it's secession or bust. I mean, all of this stuff is all well and good, and we want Trump to create chaos because that gives us an opportunity. But I agree with Nick Griffin, and he said it a couple of times on the show. There is no hope for reform through the existing system. There's no parliamentary path to revolution is exactly how I put it.
Let's stay on this topic for just a moment because this is really good. Here's what is happening, okay? The only way that we're going to get secession is if Trump wins and the left throws a hissy fit and decides that they are, you know, let California leave, let New York leave. If they leave, basically we can govern the rest of them. On the other hand, I'd be just as soon have the Acela Corridor leave and the whole left coast, but just the coastal counties on the left coast, okay? Because all the interior counties tend to be red counties. That's what we need to do. We need to get all of these nut jobs, these people in, you know, the land of fruit and nuts, which is what they call California, and the Acela Corridor, these people, you know, the descendants of the Yankee abolitionists of old, get them out of here, because I don't want those people being in the same nation that I'm in. The same type of people that, you know, think that, see, how can you govern a nation where half of the nation thinks that abortion is a murder and the other half thinks it's a sacrament?
But, okay, bottom line is it's secession or bust. And until one of those two realities happen, secession or bust, you got to build parallel communities. And we know some people in parallel communities. And that's not talking about doing anything extra legal. It's just talking about having a co-op of people who have your beliefs and
ignore the federal government as much as possible
because
when they're in charge.
That's what
they'll do to us when we get in charge.
When we get in charge, if that ever happened again, I would do everything they've done to us and then some. I know some of our people don't agree with me on that. Well, our ideas speak for themselves.
Nice guys finish last, folks. Remember Leo DeRocher? You can't be nice to them after they've been so absolutely evil to us.
Everything they've done to us and then some. Legally speaking, of course. There's no doubt about it. That's the way it has to be.
Go after the left wing the way that they've gone after the right.
And then some. But here's the thing. So we were talking with Keith Woods about this in the first hour, the case of Sam Melia, Dries Van Langenhove, all of this going on. And then here in the United States, we mentioned it in passing, but you've got Thomas Rousseau of the Patriot Front. Thomas Rousseau, 7 years after the fact, he gets pulled over for a random traffic violation. Oh, but, you know, as we all do, I get pulled over about once a month for speeding. They take your license, they go, they come back with a ticket. Well, in his case, we see you have a warrant in Virginia for lighting a tiki torch, and then he's extradited, he's facing years in prison. All right, potentially. All these J6 guys. There was actually a case of Steve Baker. I was on Sam Bushman's show. You'll like this, Keith. I was on Sam Bushman's show recently. Steve Baker was a freelance journalist who went into the Capitol during the January 6th stuff, and he sold his content to the New York Times and CNN and all of that. Well, now he is linked up with Glenn Beck's network, The Blaze. And now all of a sudden, he's not a journalist. He's an insurrectionist. He's going to prison.
Yeah, that
could have been you.
Yeah, that guy Baker. Yeah, that's
that
could
have been you.
Well, see, what happened to Thomas Rousseau, let me give you a little bit of unsolicited legal advice. Here's what I would do if he was wanted to prevent that from happening. You know how he could have done it? Let his wife do all the driving. They'll get her card, her license.
Not Rousseau.
Thomas Rousseau.
Well, if he had a tiki torch, I mean, that has nothing to do with who drove there.
No, you don't understand what I'm saying. He was captured because they checked his license, his driver's license, and found that he had that outstanding warrant.
Oh,
if he's not driving, his wife did.
All right, we got to take a break.
His wife wasn't there, nothing would have happened.
You've got to have a full-time chauffeur if you exercise your freedom of speech. We'll be right back.
The Honorable Cause of Free South is a collection of 12 essays written by Southern nationalist authors. The book explores topics such as what is the Southern nation, what is Southern nationalism, and how can we achieve a free and independent Dixie. The Honorable Cause answers questions on our own terms. The book invites readers to understand for themselves why a free and independent Dixie is both preferable and possible. The book pulls in some of the biggest producers of pro-South content, including James Edwards, the host and creator of The Political Cesspool, and Wilson Smith, author of Charlottesville Untold, Arkansas congressional candidate and activist Neil Kumar, host and creator of the Dissident Mama podcast, Rebecca Dillingham, author of A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, Identity Dixie's Patrick Martin, and yours truly, Michael Hill, founder and president of the League of the South, as well as several other authors. The Honorable Cause is available now at Amazon.com.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
There was one more thing that I wanted to talk about. We have been so busy this month during our march around the world, all over the globe. Tonight in Ireland with Keith Woods, earlier in the month in Croatia, Canada, England with Nick Griffin, Brazil, Australia, and we'll be in Germany next week and still more nations to come. But we are taking a little bit of a breather this hour, the second hour of tonight's broadcast, to focus on some stuff that's happened here domestically in the last few days, a couple of weeks even. We talked about the State of the Union. One thing we haven't talked about is the response to the State of the Union, and that was given by Alabama Senator Katie Britt. She's 42 years old from South Alabama, Enterprise, Alabama, very good looking. She definitely casts a good picture. She's young-ish. She's married. Got a couple of young kids, and she was the one that the Republicans nominated to give the response to the State of the Union. As no surprise to anyone listening, it was entirely panned by the controlled press. She was called tradwife. She was called scary. I mean, of course, if you're a 300-pound, obese, woke, purple-haired woman with tattoos, that's fine, but don't be a young, attractive mother and give a talk from your kitchen. But to help us break down what she said, And her reaction to it is another Alabamian that happens to be in our stable of talent, Courtney from Alabama, to respond from Katie Britt from Alabama's response to the State of the Union. Courtney, take it away.
Thank you. First, I'm gonna quickly I'm gonna go through the bad first and then the good. And I do agree with a lot of the criticism on the right that a man would have been a better choice because Biden basically got up there. He attacked 50% of the country and he lied about everything. And it would have been nice to have a man come on and just really hit hard against every point. And you could tell that whoever picked her, they wanted her to act and, she had a script and everything. And a lot of times, I think they wanted her to appeal to a lot of the women, and a lot of times she sounded like she was about to cry. And something I've learned is as a woman, men aren't attracted to that. When you have men in your audience, they're not attracted to that sort of thing. And I have to remember that when I'm on the show, because when I'm on the show, I get real emotional. Like when we're talking about these trials that have made the mainstream media, like the Derek Chauvin trial and the McMichaels, I get so emotional over that stuff. And I need to, cut my emotions when I'm on the show.
If I could real briefly, I had the same impression. I said, what's all this weepiness about? It's like Rodney King, can't we all just get along? No, we can't get along with those people, and it's their fault. But go ahead.
Right. And, a lot now, as far as the content, not everything she said, but there were a lot of good things she said as far as the content goes. And there's one thing she said that stood out that I really have to touch on. I have to compare it to Biden's speech, because when Biden was speaking, there was one part where he recognized all the great Americans of America's past. He recognized the black slaves, the Native Americans, the immigrants.
the dregs of society.
People who contributed nothing to it. All right.
He recognized all the immigrants, including his Irish immigrant ancestors. Now, Keith, I'm so glad you're on because I have to ask you. Keith, who is he leaving out there?
He's leaving out the founding stock of America.
Exactly. We always get left out. Now, I have to compliment Katie Britt because she did recognize the founding fathers, the pioneers. There was one part of her speech where she kind of gave the same spiel Biden did, except she recognized the right groups of people, the founding fathers, the pioneers, the space explorers. It was all great groups of Americans. And she said something about how, it's in our DNA. So I have to, applaud her for that. Now, the big part of the big mystery is that everybody's wondering is what happened to her accent.
You didn't lose yours.
I think this is something really sad that I see with a lot of people from Alabama who leave the state. They go to work. If they work in Washington, D.C., or they work in some northern state, they feel like they have to lose their accents. And it's really sad to me. I think you should embrace your southern accent. And I can say, especially if you're a woman, I know firsthand, traveling all around the country, if you are a woman with a southern accent, those men and those, especially in those northern cities like New York City, Chicago, they will love you. There is no reason to hide your accent, especially a female. And I think even if she had the most thickest country accent, I think she should have embraced it and spoke that way in her speech. I think she would have been admired a lot more because now that's just another thing for
more
to
authentic.
On her.
Well, it'd be more.
It's a plus, not a minus.
It'd be more authentic because from South Alabama, there's no doubt she had a more rich and vibrant southern accent that she either purposefully lost or was coached to lose. There's just as a Republican senator, there's no doubt about that.
It's really sad. And now they found another thing to make fun of her for because she did not have an accent. They're like, where's her accent? It just adds to the whole acting that she put on. And she should have.
Well, I will say this, Courtney. I'll say this. I mean, it did come off as performative. I have a general favorable opinion of her. It's not a wildly favorable opinion. I mean, she is a beautiful and young and southern. But, I mean, the real senator the senator that should have been elected from Alabama is Roy Moore. And we know why he wasn't elected. Roy Moore is the guy that should be in her seat right now. And there's no doubt about that. And we go back a few years and we were talking about Roy Moore and everything they did to him. I mean, you know, all of
that. Roy Moore wouldn't have been running for that if he hadn't been stabbed in the back. Jeff Sessions hadn't been stabbed in the back by Donald Trump.
Any event, Roy Moore won the primary. He was a shoo-in. The Republicans did everything they could, along with the establishment press, to make sure he lost to what was his name? Doug Jones, who was just there, you know, obviously, until the next election could be held. But, you know, so Roy Moore should have been there, not Katie Britt. But overall, you know, I like her more than I dislike her, even though she's a little more establishment. But anyway, final word to you on Britt. And there's one more young lady from even younger than Katie. Katie's 42. Girl still in her 20s is making big news in Alabama. South Alabama, they're just one county apart. We'll get to her in just a second. But a final word to you, Courtney, on the Katie Britt response to the State of the Union. And why do you think the Republicans chose her?
I do think they probably chose her to appeal to female voters. And I do agree, you know, she has a lot of charm. She has that nice, she's beautiful, she has a lot of charm. But it would have been better if she kept her accent.
So that's the main thing we don't like. And it did.
And the weepy delivery was.
Scarlett Johansson played her on the Saturday Night Live parody of it. It did come across as inauthentic. It did come across as she was reading a script and was trying to ham it up. And it just didn't come across as entirely genuine. I will say that about it.
But then it was. Many times better than Biden.
Well, that's not even in doubt, but that's how I would say that. Now, with just a minute remaining, we have to talk about another girl. I don't know if anybody listening tonight will know who this is besides you and I, Courtney. Hannah Barron. Keith, do not Google Hannah Barron. She'll get you all hot and bothered. Do not, and that goes for everybody out there, HANNAHBARRON. Don't look that up. But what's going on with Hannah Barron, one of your fellow South Alabamians, Courtney?
Hold on a second, James. I apologize. Hold on one second.
This is authentic radio. This is what we love about this show. This is what we love about being live. See, I love it when Courtney's kids come on.
Yeah. Having an insurrection there at the house.
You think there's going to be a spanking involved before the end of this
It's her version of January 6th.
We're having fun.
This time it was my husband I had to answer to, not my kid.
Oh. I thought I heard a kid back there. Well, anyway. All right. Hannah Barron. You got 1 minute, Courtney. Go, Hannah Barron. Big time news. This is a girl. She's about 5 foot, 100 pounds, in her late 20s. She noodles catfish, and you can see these pictures of her with 150-pound catfish.
She's the one that talks about making pasta.
No, I don't know. I don't know about that. But anyway, Courtney, I'll fill you in on the rest. Go.
A beautiful girl from South Alabama goes out and hunts and fishes and just you know, but still has her southern charm. Very thick country accent. There was an Arab American lady on Twitter who was attacking her, you know, and she said something about her accent, like, oh, that accent needs to be banned. I think there needs to be a history lesson on the southern accent. The southern accent.
And she said she was masculine. She said that this isn't feminine behavior.
But the southern accent is the most American accent in this country. And how dare any non-white immigrant come here and say that the southern accent needs to be banned? The southern accent is the closest thing.
The thing that needs to be banned is the Muslim, refugees coming over here.
Right.
I just think people need more history lessons on the origins of the accent and where it came from. It's like it goes the furthest back in this country. It's very American.
That's right.
Came from the first British settlers in Virginia and those areas and has a lot of history to it. And so, but yeah, that same lady. Gosh, I don't cuss on your show, James, but I really want to call that lady some names.
I can't believe her nerve to come over here and start criticizing some person like Hannah. You know that.
Well, like I said, whatever you do, folks, don't do a Google News search for Hannah Barron, Barron, and read all of this. But yeah,
she typical ingratitude of all of these people coming over here and living off of.
Well, she's made a boon out of it since then. I mean, her social media has skyrocketed, and it looks like a southern girl loves her dad. She's in all these videos going fishing with her dad. She's in her late 20s, and
as far as I know, still unmarried. So somebody out there better be getting to work. And
she's kind of like today's version of Ellie Mae Clampett.
Well, anyway, no, she's one of a kind. And I don't know if it was Courtney or Lauren Witzke who first, I think it was Lauren, actually, I heard from it first. But she's been big news this week. So it's the Alabama trifecta. Katie Britt, Courtney from Alabama, Hannah Barron. Thank you, Courtney. We'll be back with the third hour next.